I have the drink recipe written down.
Did we have a name for it?
I was calling it the Devil's Darlings.
I think we should call it the Trainator. The Traination instead of the...
I was calling it the Devil's Darlings.
The Traination.
Another episode of Why Did We Watch This, the podcast where three friends watch a troubled movie, have a steamed drink, and then talk about how it could be better. We're back for another mini episode this week, although that definition loses strength with every long episode we put
That's
out.
That's right.
But in 2 weeks...
They're just not movie episodes.
In 2 weeks, we'll have our next main episode, which will be Murder on the Orient Express. Why don't you fill us in on the movie and tell us a little about the drink we'll be having, Brendan?
Well, I'm Brendan Trischler, first of all, since we didn't introduce ourselves at the start.
Sure. Chris, you're here too.
Uh-huh.
Whatever.
Hi.
Go forth.
Chris
do
is
this.
Here.
Unfortunately. The drink we're making is called the Devil's Darlings. It's going to be 2 ounces of gin, half an ounce of maraschino liqueur, a quarter ounce of creme de cassis, and 3/4 ounces of lemon juice. And just throw it all in, you know, a tumbler, throw some ice in there, get it all nice and cool, mix it up, and drink it. What of it? That's cool. All I got.
I mean, I think it's going to be pretty tasty.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I'm interested.
We'll find out.
Would you maybe have another idea for what this drink would be called?
We'll get to that later. We're putting in the real effort this week. It's not at all... Not at all a 50% effort.
Yeah, got my copious notes here that I made on my way home from work.
Yep, nice. We are really prepared for this discussion we're about to have, which is on the eve of doing a Hercule Poirot adaptation. We're here to talk about mysteries, and specifically crime detective-y sort of mysteries. I think there's a lot of meat to talk about there. It's a sort of long-storied genre with many notable examples in film and television. So let's get into it. So just to clarify about the sort of subgenre we're doing, I think that the movies that we should be talking about have to have, I mean, they're crime mysteries. Like I was saying, like Arrival has a mystery in it, but Arrival is not what we're going to talk about, because that's like a sci-fi movie. There is a mystery that follows the conventions of mystery writing that you can sort of, like, as a viewer, follow along and work out for yourself. But we're here to talk about crime movies, where a crime has been committed, and we got to get to the bottom of it, and more specifically, where there is a central detective character who is sort of most central in solving this mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are a lot of, you know, off the top of the head, Sherlock Holmes, Miss Marple, Poirot, pick any fucking procedural from the last 20 years of television, Law and Order, Mentalist, Elementary, which is also Sherlock Holmes.
Keep going.
Well, Psych, Monk.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Oh, God, what else is there?
Who else?
CSI, colon, space, area.
Law and Order, SUV.
NCIS? What is that one? It's NCIS.
Wait, was that...
You think it would be NCIS, but it's not.
Which was the one with my
NCSI
absolute...
NCSI is a different show. It's a spinoff of CSI.
Yeah.
It's something else
your grandma loves to watch.
It's the one crossover episode they ever had.
Yeah.
Which is the one that has my favorite hacking scene ever committed to film?
That'd be usually CSI is the one.
Yeah.
It was the one where it's literally like, scoot over! And
yeah,
they're both jacking
no,
on
know
the
you're
same
talking.
Keyboard.
Chris,
yeah.
Please, you're talking to two people here who are on the internet. No, because it's What's Her Face. It's what show is Polly Perrette on? Yeah.
NCIS.
I have no idea.
I don't know, man.
Or is it CSI? No fucking clue.
Isn't she like 50?
Yeah. We all know what we're talking about. We all know the area we're in.
No further questions.
So.
Watch yourself, counselor.
I guess let's just start talking about like the different types of characters. Different
sure.
characters. The different detectives.
The Caracs.
Well, they all tend to be a little socially awkward, but they have some unique ability that helps them solve cases
uh-huh.
in a way that other people don't always appreciate or understand. But they have a friend, and that friend is usually better at social situations than they are. This is a very original premise and could be any number of shows on CBS.
True.
Big Bang Theory also.
Hey.
We don't
Not always necessarily. I would say that
That's
like...
That's my favorite mystery, though.
I would say that on Psych, James Roday is the more socially adept character, but he's also kind of like... obnoxious.
Mm-hmm. It's flipping the genre on its head.
Whereas Gus is less of like a talker and more of a cerebral sort. But Sean, he is sort of considered like a handler. Usually the assistant isn't some effect, like a handler or a detective, because...
Or like some kind of liaison.
Yeah, because like while Sean is very sociable and charming, he's irresponsible and impulsive and needs someone to like, frankly, intervene when his... Because he doesn't know when it's going too far. I'm trying to think of a better phrase for that, but you know what I'm saying. Like, like to pull him back from going too far frequently. Yes. So, like, I think most detectives have, like, capital Q quirks in these works of fiction.
I think that's... We see that mold so often because I think it's been proven to get a lot of... it's been proven to work. And it is, in a certain vein, it allows you to kind of... do what I would call almost like the TV version of like a four quadrant movie where it's sort of like, yeah, it's a mystery, but then there's like cops, but it's also like funny and light and weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird too, because like in the original, like for example, Sherlock Holmes, which is one of the foremost, like, I'm a weird detective.
Yeah. I mean, said, one might say it's the originator of the weird detective.
Well, we one can get might, into but... see August Dupont another time, but.
We might have an argument against them made.
Sure.
But. Sure. Sure. But, like, in the books, it's not like... Yeah, I guess there's sort of humor that could be derived the way that Doyle writes it. But it's not like it's meant to be like, haha, look at this guy. He fucking shoots bullet holes in the wall in the shape of the queen. But it's just sort of like...
Yeah, I would say it's more lightly amusing than it is, like, straight comedic. At least not the same
but
way.
But I agree that, like, a lot of the shows, the adaptations of Sherlock Holmes, will then turn it into easy comedy.
Yeah.
Sherlock does this. With a head in the fridge?
Yeah.
There's a head in the fridge scene.
That sounds hilarious.
Because I hated that series so much.
It's not good. It's not a good version of Sherlock Holmes. But, like, even good versions of Sherlock Holmes will, like, make comedy out of, like...
Like the Great Mouse Detective.
What a weird guy, yeah.
That's with all I got. Good night, everybody.
There was a comedy version of Sherlock Holmes. I can't remember what it's called. I'm so sorry. But they showed it to us in middle school in English class.
Was it Dudley Moore?
It was a comedic Sherlock. And it
and
basically was that... Sherlock was a complete bumbling idiot.
Yes, you're thinking of Sherlock, Michael Caine, Dudley Moore movie.
Okay.
Where, yeah, he hires Michael Caine to play Sherlock Holmes as this, like, sort of, like, I am not convincing as a detective, but you have gravitas that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to, and then he gets, like, too egotistic about it and sort of tries to take over.
It
was a good movie. It's a good, it flipped the script a little bit.
Flip the script!
Yeah. And, like, I think the quirks are not, like, necessarily that... They don't have to be, like, so out there. Like, some of the TV ones, depending... I do think that, like, it's an easy way, and a character that maybe you're not going to focus on that much, because you're focusing on the mystery, like...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just give him... Spin the wheel, throw some darts at a board of, like...
Quirks.
Yeah.
And that's his character. Like, we don't need to get into it too much.
I enjoyed kind of to see that... The things that are different than the things that are also very similar, when that detective is actually police, and that means he's just the weirdo at the police precinct.
Yeah.
Or when he's not police, and he's sort of the, like, annoying weirdo to the police precinct.
Yeah.
So, like, in that situation, there's always going to be an Inspector Lestrade, or whatever, like, actual police
person.
Yeah,
sometimes there is. Yeah, if your detective is not a cop, then there's potentially some cop that works with you a lot, or... It like has a nice and or terrible. It's never like a decent working relationship.
Right. It's pretty rivalry based.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I would say it's either
troubled at best.
It's either great or terrible. Like, it's not like professional. It's never straight up professional. It's always like I hate your guts, or it's like we work great together.
I mean, or you watch Castle, where you have it both ways.
Mm. Oh man, what a show! I never watched Castle.
I watched a lot of it.
It
was a different time, everyone.
This is a weird anecdote to get off on, but I saw one episode of Castle once, and it was a late season episode, and there was a scene in it that inspired me to do something else, like, it gave me my own idea, and I recently spent, like, an ungodly amount of time, like, hours of my life trying to figure out what season. I was trying to find that scene again, and I was like, I don't know, I remember, like, two things about it. I remember sort of, like, the general look of the room they were in, and, like, the characters involved, but I don't know any of the people, the actors' names or the characters' names. And I found it, but it was, what a goose hunt that was.
It was a real emotional journey you just took me on, too.
Yeah. I did find it. I found the scene. It was, like, a late season one. It was, like, Castle was... Is Castle the cop?
No.
The cop lady. She was gonna go do something suicidal, and, like,
Beckett?
Castle is the guy.
Beckett is the cop, Castle is the guy.
Yeah.
Which, He's the crime
mystery writer, yeah.
And he plays poker with like James Patterson and Dean Koontz during James like, the Patterson. First.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Meta is sex and meta is sex.
Je m'appelle Benjamin. Guys, look up James Patterson on YouTube. He's got some great commercials.
He stars in his own
book ads.
Yeah, I don't know how else to put it.
I feel like we mentioned this before.
Yeah,
it's honestly just one of my favorite facts about our
I think
world.
It came up whenever we were doing Odd Thomas.
Probably, yeah.
Welcome back to this show. Call
Je m'appelle Dean Koontz. But yeah, it was like some sort of like she was gonna do something stupid, suicidal, and like he was like, you know, tortured over the fact that mm-hmm. he like had a crush on her and didn't have unresolved sexual feelings. It was like, oh, stop her. It was like a typical like angsty white guy scene.
Yeah, of course.
And procedurals, like we've been shitting on CSI and NCIS and all of those shows, but like. They're popular for a reason, and they don't have to be trash. Like, they can be written well. Like,
yeah, but I mean, I think it's just because they are so popular, therefore you get a lot of lesser knockoffs coming.
You do. Yeah, and like, but, like, Elementary, sure. I think, is an example of a mostly great procedural. And
I loved Elementary.
The problem with Elementary...
I was so upset it wasn't set in an elementary school. Complaint number one, Sherlock Holmes is the principal, Moriarty is the superintendent.
Oh, I really thought this was going to be, like, elementary-aged...
No, it's just Sherlock Holmes in elementary school.
I mean, young Sherlock Holmes is already
movie. Yeah, we already did that. I don't care about that.
But we didn't go down to elementary school, did we?
No, we didn't take it down that far.
Yeah. Yeah. Younger Sherlock Holmes.
Who stole the homework? The, like, level of mystery.
It's like a young Sheldon type mystery. Who took all the teacher's apples?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Wouldn't that be a sweet mystery to solve?
But yeah, like... It's tough with TV and procedurals, too, I think, because you, as, like, a writer on, or, you know, a team of writers on one of these shows, you're, like, cranking out 22 to 24 mysteries. They're not all going to be great winners.
Well, no wonder they have to also be kind of yanked from the headlines sometimes, because you're like, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense from the headlines. I mean, that's just, like, that's standard.
Yeah, no, there's nothing inherently wrong with, like,
because guess what? The mysteries from headlines usually have answers, so you know. Like, you don't have to come up with all of it. Yeah. You can just, like, read the detective notes.
It's also really an easy way to, like, get viewers, right? It's an easy way to capitalize on interest in the case.
It's that, and, like,
you're like, ooh, this is the Harvey Weinstein episode.
If the police solve a crime, you can, as a writer, be like, how do you do that?
Let me ask you guys.
how do you do
police, that? Police, how do you do that?
How you do solving.
Yeah, and then they don't have to figure it out. That's right. It's like, that's hard. It's hard to build a...
Sit back and wait for the police to do the writing for you. I just love the idea, like, it's, like, Thursday before they're scheduled to, like, air the episode. Like, guys, can you hurry up the solving here?
I almost want to be like, hey, cops, how you solve?
How you self-crime.
How you self-crime.
But to your point earlier, Chris, about the detective always needing to be, like, whether he's the oddball or...
He's
amongst the cops, or he's an oddball. But, like, I would argue that Columbo is a very distinctive character, but I feel like he's probably friends with all the guys in the precinct.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone loves Columbo.
He's just an approachable guy. Yeah. But he is weird.
He is.
And quirky.
But Mrs. Columbo loves him anyway.
Yeah.
With his rumpled green coat.
Yeah. Mrs. Columbo, whom we never see until her spinoff.
Ms. Columbo, please.
Chris, it's not his daughter.
The Mrs. isn't he referred to as the Mrs.?
Yeah.
Mrs.
Columbo, and then there was a spinoff called Mrs. Columbo. And they were, it was also, like, Kate Mulgrew, who was, like, 30 at the time.
Married to Peter Falk.
Married to Peter Falk, who was, like, 60 at
least. Yeah, I was going to say, she was half his age, probably.
Is she, in stark contrast to Columbo, very rude and abrasive?
She was just doing a Peter Falk impression the entire time. One more question.
Hold on. To be honest, I would watch the shit out of that.
The gender swap reboot we never knew we wanted.
You know...
Oh my god, actually though, a gender swapped Columbo would be genius.
Honestly, I could see it working.
Of just a woman using her, like, female, you know, like, a perception of
her feminine intuition.
Like, yeah, her that, too. But yeah, the perception that women are, like, less forceful and, like, more kind and nurturing is, like, but, like, to get underneath the skin of people.
Holy shit. Yep.
Told you.
13 episodes, Mrs. Columbo. Yep.
It didn't last.
She it was played there. Kate Callahan Columbo.
Is she solving, like, crimes at, like, the local book club?
Just look at this title card. Could you think of a more suburban look for your detective show?
Hey, you know what? They were a nice family.
It's the Mrs. It's the Little Night Music font.
Doesn't it also sort of look like it's more like a sitcom?
Yeah.
Than anything else? Oh my god, Mrs. Columbo, later known as Kate Columbo, followed by Kate the Detective, and then ultimately, Kate Loves a Mystery.
Talk about, like, milking a franchise dry, like, not wanting to give up. Like, we fucking got Kate Bonger for a season. We are going to keep this fucking show on the air for a whole season.
Kate loves a mystery!
It's just like when they throw up their hands up there, like, I don't know. She fucking loves mysteries, I guess.
Oh, man. I would love it if those episodes were really about the people in her life being exhausted by her, like, dogged pursuit of crime.
I just think about this, like, woman at, like, book club who's always talking about mysteries. And everyone's like, Kate, we're fucking doing a romantic novel this week, but this mystery, guys, I love it!
Anywho.
I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Just keep talking. I lost control of this ages ago.
All right, so one of the things I had wanted to address was the idea about, like, not necessarily a good mystery versus a bad mystery, but there are works of fiction where you can follow the mystery as it goes on and solve the mystery yourself if you are good enough to do such a thing.
That is how it should be versus, like, how it could
be. So here's the thing. Right. So there are other ones. Like, the only one I think about the top of my head is something like Murder, She Wrote, where it's, like, at the end, it's just like, also, this is a thing I never mentioned before or never came up in any way, but might this solve the mystery? And it does solve the mystery.
Although, I will say this, I really do love that show.
Right. And, like, because, again, it's like comfort food. It's the same thing as NCIS or something. Like, it's predictable. You know it's going to happen week after week. It's relatively safe.
I mean, I'll take Jessica Fletcher over NCIS.
Over Polly Prentice?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Not Polly Prentice. Polly Prentice, yeah.
Polly Prentice.
Paul Prentice is someone else entirely, yeah. So what I was going to say is, though, yes, I'm inclined to agree with you, Lee, for the most part, about you should be able to solve a mystery from the get... Like, even if you yourself cannot solve the mystery should be solvable from the, like...
Well, yeah, obviously it should be solvable. The clues should all be there. I think, like, it's TBD on, like, whether you should be able to solve it. I think the more important thing, and this is... I'm ripping this point straight out of, like, the Sherlock critique that I watch. But it makes sense, so I'm gonna cite it. When the detective is explaining how he solved it, you should be like, oh.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you should then see what you were missing all along. Like, they should be able to explain in rational, like, explanation, like, this is how I got to this conclusion.
I feel like the way we approach this is similar to how we've discussed a good twist before. Because in our minds, the twist should not be completely out of left field, but it should effectively recontextualize what you've seen. Whereas, like, a bad one, and I would say this is kind of what maybe the other mystery is, where... The mystery almost seems to be beside the point of the story, where it's just sort of like all of this shit happens, or the Jessica Fletcher thing. She should, like, the last moment reveal. Yeah,
they pull a rabbit out of a hat,
yeah.
And they're like, ah.
Though, that being said, I was trying to think of some examples contrary to the point, because as I said, I do agree with you, Lee, that I would much prefer a mystery that I could theoretically solve. So the other things I had thought of were Zodiac, which I think works because it is more of a story about obsession. That happens to be, like, dressed
as
a mystery.
Yeah, but also, I think that's sort of a little bit different because, like, it's,
you know, that
unsolved.
It's, right, you know that, it, like, at the end of the movie, they're not going to be like, and we solved it.
Yeah.
Take that, everyone.
I think that's, yeah, I would argue that, like, yeah, we can still count that as mystery, but I think it's fine to not solve it if it's not solved.
See, I mean, I'm inclined to count it as mystery just by dint of the fact that it is following
it
so many characters trying to
mystery.
Solve a mystery, even though the mystery is itself unsolvable. Similarly, Picnic at Hanging Rock, which just basically ends with being like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't tell you what happened to those girls who went to Hanging Rock. And the other thing I could... you were going to say something, sorry.
Well, in both situations, would you say that... I haven't seen Picnic at Hanging Rock, but I have seen...
I know neither of you have. I keep bringing it up. I feel like I bring it up a lot, despite the fact that no one
else
has
seen it.
Did
you watch the show?
Didn't love it.
Okay.
Didn't hate it, but didn't love it.
Oh, yeah, you said that.
Yeah, maybe I brought this up before for something else, but I do remember talking about this.
You or
yeah, you might have.
But, anyway. But no, I just mean, like... Oh, shit, I forgot what I was going to say now. God, what were we saying before that? Oh, in both of those cases, not having seen Picnic at Hanging Rock, but having seen, what was the other one?
Zodiac,
sorry. Nope. The answer to the mystery is so clearly not the point of the movie.
Right, and I would say arguably for Picnic at Hanging Rock, that's also kind of the case too, although I feel like if you did not know anything about Picnic at Hanging Rock and you watched the movie expecting there to be an answer at the end, you could walk away from that very angry, that, like, nothing has ever really outright stated, because it is more about, like, the unknown than it is about solving a mystery.
I mean, I definitely say that's the case with Zodiac.
Yeah.
There are just Sherlock Holmes mysteries where he doesn't solve it.
True.
He
was weird.
Don't know.
And there's also Sherlock Holmes stories that, like, take massive digressions into, like, a whole adventure in, like, an American Mormon colony.
Well, Sweating in Scarlet. Yeah.
The other thing I was kind of thinking
it doesn't quite fall under the same sort of category, but it was something that came to mind,
mm-hmm.
is the movie Gone Girl, where the mystery is effectively solved, like, halfway through, mm-hmm. where initially the mystery seems to be, like, who killed this guy's wife? And then, like, right as you're starting to figure it out, the mystery is answered to you, oh, she faked her own death. Like, she wasn't actually dead.
Yeah.
And, like, this is why she did what she did. So the movie is less about, like, the mystery of who did it and more, like, why and how did this woman do this?
Well, and it's...
I think that's sort of a Setting Scarlet adjacent thing, mm-hmm. because the reason... And this was, like, before... This was Doyle's first work as Sherlock Holmes, with Sherlock Holmes, and I think he was still figuring out, like, how he was going to write Sherlock Holmes.
And the mm-hmm. format.
But the whole reason that you go to, like, Nevada... The first time I was reading The Studying Scarlet, I literally thought that they'd messed up the book binding.
Me too!
That I'd been given a different... Like, it was, like, half a different book.
Well, because it's... First of all, it's a pretty abrupt
a chapter,
switch.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes chapter ends, and all of a sudden it's like, this man goes into Nevada. He's a Mormon. He joins the Mormon community. And but it really, what it is giving you the how and why, which uh-huh. is so central to the story in that case, that they spend, like, half of the book going into, like, what led up to him committing the crime.
Uh-huh.
So I think that, yeah, I think that's, if that's part of your mystery, like I think it is in the case in Gone Girl and mm-hmm. A Study in Scarlet, then yeah, I think that's all valid as, like, a, you know...
It's more just sort of like, it's not going the route you'd expect it to do. Like, it is
yeah.
solving what it initially set out to do, mm-hmm. but it's solving it in a different way than you may have initially thought it would.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of any movie or, like, TV show or work of fiction I like where you couldn't conceivably guess the ending. And I'm not sure that there is one. The closest I hit on was The Prestige, but even then it's just sort of like, if you assume that the twist ending is that they're twins
mm-hmm. yeah.
and nothing else, like if you assume, like, going into it that you know that he has a Nikola Tesla cloning machine and that's
yeah, I mean there's no way you're gonna walk in there thinking like, oh, magic exists.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, it would be, I feel like it would be a different thing if they said at the end, like, oh, Christian Bale also had a secret form of magic that he never disclosed, and that is how it's solved. Like, you'd be like, that's fucking bullshit. The fact that it's twins, I think, plays off because Michael Caine is bringing it up throughout the movie.
Yes.
And he's like, there's another one. I'm telling you, there's a double. And Hugh Jackman's like, nope, not that at all. So that's the closest I could come up with, honestly, because I feel like that is genuinely sort of an unsatisfying thing in terms of a narrative.
I
wish I could think of an example of a movie or work of fiction, as I said, that I like that did that, but I really don't know if there is
one. Probably is. I'm saying, I'm going to go on a limb and say that there probably is a sort of twist, or maybe not necessarily like a detective-y crimey mystery, but like a mystery in general where you can't possibly predict the outcome that is still mm-hmm. satisfying, but... Again, I didn't really think too long or have a lot of time to really dig deep in my brain. But I feel like probably I could find one. I think it's possible, but I think it's... For the most part, you're watching a mystery to experience either for yourself or watching someone else mm-hmm. the satisfaction of, like, solving a puzzle.
Do you guys like to solve the puzzle along with the person?
Not really. I mean, I watch procedurals.
It's not...
In the background when I'm doing something else. Mm-hmm. Because, like, they... Because the... They're great on TV because there's commercials built in, and, like, they sort of know that you're doing the laundry
yeah.
while it's happening.
Yeah.
And so, like, they'll frequently, like, repeat things
right.
that have come mm-hmm. up. So, like, and I actually prefer to watch procedurals that have strong characters that have arcs over the course of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm mostly watching for those, you know, far and few between character moments.
Mm-hmm.
And then just sort of, like, the mystery is sort of second hat to me. Like, I watch, like, Lucifer I watch because the characters, I watch The Mentalist for Jaden and Lisbon, who are great characters, and, like, sometimes mysteries are interesting, but mostly I'm just, like, waiting for them to solve it. Sherlock Holmes is a little bit different, but reading is, I think, different than watching.
But I would also say, like,
I think I'm more inclined when I'm, sorry, Chris, I think I'm more inclined when I'm reading to try and solve it for some reason. Because
same.
I'm lingering on details longer than I am on, like,
yeah.
a movie or TV show, where it's like, here's an image, here's another image, like, keep this all in your head. Whereas with a book, you're allowed to, like, sort of go at your
no,
own pace and, like, churn this over in your brain.
Yeah, I think it. For the mostly when I'm watching and I'm just sitting, I'm just, like, along for the ride.
Well, I
yeah,
think that
that's
also,
fine, too.
I think that also invites it, right? A book invites you to do that because... Specifically because you can spend so much time.
Yeah,
with it.
No, that's a good point actually.
And
just...
you're not being shoved off this point or the other.
Right.
And I also think probably the Deus Ex Machinas in that case are probably even more glaring in a book than they would be on TV.
Can I tell you about one of my favorite mystery books that is more modern and less like prolific is long. But
yeah.
What's the word for, like, I guess prevalent in our culture?
Yeah.
Well known, yeah.
But there's a series of books by Lawrence Block about a character named Bernie Rodenbaugh, And Bernie Rodenbauer is a burglar who, like, has been arrested. He'd been to jail, like, for a couple of years because he got caught. Because he didn't know they could do palm prints. And so, like, he used to cut... He used to steal with, like, the gloves, but because they were too sweaty, he would cut the palms out.
I'm sure that's not, like, necessarily played for laughs, but I can't help but find that hilarious.
Like, I think it was supposed to be, like,
so weird.
A sort of ironically funny thing that he got arrested because he used to... And now he's, like, just deal with sweaty palms now. Just gotta deal with it, because I get caught. But he, like, he does it for, like, a... To get... He has, like, a sort of used bookstore that's, like... But he doesn't make any money off of the bookstore because nobody buys books.
Right.
But that's what he does because he loves it. But what he really gets money from is sort of, like, burgling now and then. But, like, the reason that the first book gets him into being a detective is that he, like, burgles a house off of a tip and there's a dead body in there. And he's like, fuck. Like,
yeah.
I'm here. So if the cops find out that I was here, I am now prime suspect number one. Therefore, I need to find the crime. Like, the person who was... And then he does a pretty good job of, like, solving the crime. And then, like... The sort of next few books, like, it's sort of ridiculous, like, how that happens to him a couple more times. But then eventually other things come up, like, somebody hires him to steal a thing, and then there's inevitably, like, a horror, like, a twist as to why the person wants the thing stolen, and he, like, has to get... So he keeps getting drawn into mysteries, sort of, in different ways. Which, it's kind of, like, weird and funny how he gets into this mess, and how, like, at least at the start, it's sort of, like... I just keep finding dead bodies in these houses I work on. Like, but they're really well written and funny and, like, and good. They're a great book series. I'd recommend them to anyone. And they did try to adapt it once, and it was horrible.
Who was in it?
Well, let me tell you, to your point about...
I'll allow it.
About people of color.
I know what you're talking about now.
Gender swapped and race swapped into Bernice Rodenbauer, and Whoopi Goldberg played her.
Wow.
And it was terrible.
Yeah, what was it called? The name of that movie?
What was it called?
Jumpin' Jack Flash.
No!
No, what's the other
one? Jumpin' Jack Flash is just a Whoopi Goldberg movie.
What's the other one?
It was named after the book, which was, I can't remember.
Fuck, no, I know this because I don't know why I know so many of, like, Whoopi Goldberg's bizarre bad choices.
You said it was... What was his name?
I'm just gonna, Bernice Whoopi Goldberg. Burglar?
Okay.
This is all...
Okay.
Yeah. It's adapted from, oh my god, Bobcat's right, Bobcat Goldthwait. They gender swapped. Bernie's assistant.
Oh no.
Bernie's, like, sort of assistant friend character that sort of helps him solve crimes is his lesbian neighbor. And they gender swapped her into a guy. Had Bobcat Goldthwait play him.
So they were probably breaking their own arms, patting themselves on the back for this one.
We swapped all the genders.
Was he gay?
I don't think so.
Okay. She operates a pet grooming salon called the Poodle Factory near Bernie's bookstore.
Yeah, it was adapted by The Burglar in the Closet. That's the name of the first book.
I see he first appeared in Burglars Can't Be Choosers.
Who, Carl Heffler?
No, I'm sorry, Bernie Rodenbauer. That was the
first
book.
It wasn't. Maybe, yeah, that might be the case. But it's an early one in the series. It's been a while since I've read these books. It's Burglar in the Closet's the second one.
Burglar who liked to quote Kipling. Burglar who studied Spinoza. Burglar who painted like Mondrian.
Yeah.
Mondrian, rather. Burglar who traded Ted Williams. Burglar who thought he was a Bogart.
They're good books.
Burglar on the Prowl is one of them.
I was, like, there when that came out. Like, I'd, like, read all the books by that point, and I was, like, that was the one I got to see come out. I don't think I've read The Burglar Who Created the Count of the Spoons. I think I'd already off of them by that point, so I might have to go read it.
Ha! To your note about this gender swap and race swap thing?
Yeah.
So it says, was portrayed by Whoopi Goldberg, although Bruce Willis had originally been offered the role.
He probably would have been good as Bernie. I remember him being described physically. There was one short story that Lawrence Block wrote with Bernie that was third person, not narrated by Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that narrated described him as Alan Alda, like. Like, he looks like... I think they were saying it was like Alan, like a more handsome Alan.
Arkin?
Well, I don't know. For my money, yes. But I don't think that, like, Alan Arkin is, like, I don't know.
I defy you to think of a handsomer Alan. Listeners, if you can think of a handsomer Alan, let me know.
Yeah, I mean, Alan Arkin and Russians are coming. Holy shit. That's a good one.
Oh my goodness. In a special movie tie-in edition of the novel, Block added a short intro in which Bernie explained that he has a cousin named Bernice who is also a thief, giving a whimsical in-continuity explanation for the changes to the character in the movie.
Where does this happen?
It says, in the novel, I have to assume it's Burglar in the Closet. So, like, I guess, like, reprints of it include this intro.
Oh, maybe. Theoretically, some of the A.J. Raffles books could be considered detective-y things as well.
I was going to bring that up, because you're also an A.J. Raffles reader.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of H.R. Raffles are stories or less, like, they're not all, they're more just sort of, like, short stories. Sometimes it's, like, he steals something, sometimes he solves a crime, but, like, adjacent to the fact that he's a thief.
And just to narrow in a little bit closer to what we're going to be doing for Murder on the Orient Express, has anyone had much experience with Agatha Christie adaptations?
I've read one Agatha Christie book, but this was also something I figured we would talk about next week.
I thought we were going to talk about Poirot specifically, but I'm trying to think of other Agatha Christie. I played the game and then there were none.
Yeah, I have as well.
The game, the silly thing about the game version is they add a character because...
They do?
Yeah, the main character and then there were none is not in the book.
Who's the main character and then there were none? The game?
The game? It's game like series. The guy that drives the boat or something. Okay. Like, because there's someone that takes them all to the island.
Right.
But, like, in the book, in the game, like, you end up on the island with everyone. And so, like, all of the characters...
Are there, and you're interacting with them.
Are in there,
okay.
They're all, like, I got you. But, like, it's weird. I forget how the game goes. And I've never read the book either.
I mean,
but,
I've
like,
read the book.
I read the book. We read it
how,
in school.
How you do that game?
Yeah.
Where it's... You could just
like, how do you
up.
Have this impartial
Did
observer
you
who's
it?
Standing there? Yeah.
Do you change the ending?
Could be. Much of the movie versions change the ending.
So well, I play Sherlock Holmes games, but they're all original mysteries. For the most part.
I also just wanted to kind of, like... Okay, we will get into this, I guess, in the Maxi episode. But my dad went... He goes through a lot of, like... He, at least when we were growing up, went through a lot of, like, film phases.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there was a time where we watched all of the Planet of the Apes movies. That was just what we did. So then it was a while where we watched, like, every Agatha Christie adaptation he could get his hands on. So I've seen so fucking many, just, like, from, like, across time periods. Because they started making some of them in, like, the 70s.
They started making some of them in, like, the 40s and 50s, I mean.
Sorry. So the ones, out of the ones we watched,
okay.
I think the oldest were, like, from the 70s. So I'd seen, like, a handful of the same adaptation done, like, a few times. And it was just kind of funny to see, like... What would, like, change or they would, like, adjust for that time period. The only other thing I wanted to point out, just in terms of mystery media...
Yeah?
I really, really love Miss Fisher's murder mysteries. Because I love, like, an idle rich detective who just, like, takes time out of their busy idle life.
I'm surprised you've never seen a Nick and Nora movie.
I've never. I know, I'm familiar with what it is and what it's, like...
I mean, they're pretty. I mean, they're older, but
they're like a rich, boozy couple who solves crimes, right?
Essentially, yeah. They're just like socialites that are very sophisticated.
I really enjoyed the Paul F. Tompkins and Paget Brewster Thrilling Adventure Hour. Was a spoof of that.
Oh, really?
Where they kind of crossed the Thin Man with Medium, so they could both see ghosts, and they were rich boozies who would solve crimes.
Yeah.
Janet Varney shows up occasionally as a werewolf girl. It's really good.
I never actually listened to that podcast that much, but yeah, Miss Fisher is pretty, like, I would say that's probably, like, one of the foremost, things, but, like, Miss Marple is also sort of a social lady, right? Like...
Well, wasn't she sort of, like...
She old.
I thought it was more of a it was more of a Murder, She Wrote thing, where it, like, seemed weird that this old woman who didn't really... was, like, inserting herself into so many people's lives.
I thought she was young in some of those books, but I've never read them.
I've only ever seen her as a movie.
Yeah, she's, like, a middle-aged woman, usually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll figure it out. Maybe I've just seen, like,
Miss Marple is a tall, thin woman between 65 and 70 years of age.
Oh, my goodness.
So, she old. Girl, she old.
I thought I'd seen, like, sort of more...
Young Miss Marple. The Young Miss Marple mysteries.
You know where she did show up in a Spanish soap opera that I was watching called Hotel something. The classic hotel or something. It's like Grand Hotel.
Grand Hotel.
It was like she was in Grand Hotel. She was like a young lady.
Grand Hotel.
El Gran Hotel.
Yeah, I enjoy murder mysteries. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing how this like stacks up with like the two other Murder on the Orient Express adaptations I've seen.
Which I've never seen. So,
is it a spoiler to say this? We'll cut it if so. Mm-hmm. But is it a spoiler?
It's probably fine.
Say that, like, didn't they actually change the ending in this?
I don't think they really did.
I don't think they did either.
I thought there was a big thing about this movie.
I know they changed some of the characters. Like, there are composite characters, and some of the characters have, like, their specific backstories changed a little bit.
Okay.
But I think the ending is still the ending. And what? Honestly,
why am I remembering that you hated something strongly about this?
I didn't like the ending.
Oh, you don't like the ending, so you don't like the book ending. Like the actual ending.
As someone who has not read the book, but who has read about the book, uh-huh. I could say it's entirely conceivable that I would also hate the ending to the book.
I see.
Maybe the book plays it better. I don't know. When I watched the movie and we got to the end, I was angry.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that you were just mad.
Did they change something?
I thought that you were mad about the ending because it was, like, different.
Not what I wanted not what I thought it would be. No, no, no.
Wow.
So, we'll get to that in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to throw out?
That's all I got.
All right. So we're done.
That's all I got, guys.
Yep, that's it.
It's still a pretty short one for all that.
Well, I'll wrap it up. 2 weeks from now, we'll be back with our full-length episode, Murder on the Orient Express. We'll be drinking a drink. Make that drink if you want. If you don't, I don't care. I'm not your mom. Do whatever you want.
You're
not here. Gosh. No, I keep telling you that. Stop following and imprinting upon me.
No!
All right, see you in 2 weeks. Bye!